Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The new book, Lincoln's Boys, John Hay, John Nicolay, and the War for Lincoln's Image, is an intimate look into Abraham Lincoln's White House through the lives of two extraordinary men and draws upon their letters, diaries, and memoirs. But more than that, it tells the story of the aftermath of his assassination and how we have come to receive the idea of who Lincoln was that we have today. Again, the name of the book is Lincoln's Boys, and we welcome author Joshua Zeitz to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me on. I appreciate that.
Very nice to have you here. So what brought you to this idea of writing about these two men and their relationship with Abraham Lincoln?
You know, I've been familiar with Hay and Nicolay for some years. Anybody who, you know, most professional historians who work on 19th century America certainly are familiar with them, given the prominent place that their writings hold in any work on Lincoln or on the Civil War era. But I thought of them as being subjects of a standalone book while reading an essay on them by David Donald, the late Harvard historian who was essentially the dean of Lincoln Studies in his time. And, you know, at the time I was sort of on hiatus from teaching and working as a political aide to a governor of New Jersey, and I found in them something really recognizable. I you know, have existed between politics and academia, and I saw in them a sort of promising subject matter, but I also identified with them and understood them in as much as I was a political aide and knew a lot of folks who were as well. And it struck me that they had an interesting story that needed to be related about the way in which presidential legacies and memories are shaped long after the fact, and that they're done so in very deliberate fashion sometimes.
When it comes to these particular men, you really look at how they've shaped the image and the legacy of Lincoln, certainly in the aftermath of his death. But a lot of this work was going on while he was very much alive.
That's right. I mean, they were tremendously important to Lincoln. They started working for him formally in 1860. Nicolay first as his campaign secretary, effectively, and then Hay joined shortly after Lincoln was elected. And the two of them went to Washington with Lincoln, lived in the White House, worked in the White House, and they were very much gatekeepers to the president and also responsible for effectively doing the jobs of what we would today recognize as a press secretary, a chief of staff, a body man, a political director. So they were very much central to the administration's, you know, public relations efforts during the war. They were very much central to the politics of that period, and they were central to the work of helping Lincoln actually achieve his military and political goals. So they were, you know, well-trusted aides long before his death and long before they began working with Robert Todd Lincoln to help fashion his post-presidential legacy, his posthumous legacy.
And that legacy, having great control over his papers and what became available and when it became available.
That's right. You know, we tend to think of Lincoln as a popular, tremendously popular person in a timeless fashion. What we forget is that during the war, he was an extremely controversial president, obviously despised throughout large portions of the South, and deeply controversial in the North as well. There were plenty of people, both in his own party and certainly in the Democratic Party, who didn't like him, who thought that he was a tyrant, who thought that he was a bungling war leader, who thought that he was mismatched from a skills perspective or an intellectual perspective for the duties associated with being a wartime president. You know, there was a great outpouring of grief after he died, and certainly he had always been more popular with the electorate in the North than he had been with the nation's elites. But by the 1870s, the elite men who controlled the official memory for the country effectively wrote him off as a very nice man who had simply been unequal to the task and who had been lucky to have had a very strong cabinet that was able to guide the country through war. Hay and Nicolay worked closely with Robert Todd Lincoln to correct that image and to create a more enduring image of Lincoln. And part of that was enjoying exclusive access to his presidential papers and his political papers from the 1850s, which Robert Todd Lincoln let them and them alone use and consult. They actually had possession of them for well over a quarter century. After they died, Robert Todd Lincoln reclaimed possession over those papers but he later closed off access for 21 years after his death, so it was not until 1947 that any scholar was able to consult that collection, and he made that decision purposely in order to make sure that the portrait of Lincoln that Hay and Nicolay created would be an enduring one and would basically hold the field to its own for a very long time.
So they held the field for a very long time. They changed the narrative, but yet there still seems to be somewhat of a war over his image and whether the narrative that they have created is indeed historically correct.
I think that's right. I mean, you know, David Donald said, you know, at one point back in the 1950s, observed that everybody wants to, quote unquote, get right with Lincoln. You know, the question, what would Lincoln do? What was Lincoln all about? Is very much on our minds. And over time, you know, the Hay and Nicolay version of Lincoln has ebbed and flowed. But there are certain elements of the historical portrait that they created which have remained largely matters of consensus. The idea that Lincoln was a master politician who understood how to move Congress and how to move his cabinet and bend their will. The idea that he was in many ways someone who out-generaled his generals and educated himself quickly and comprehensively on the art of warfare, the idea that he was, you know, ultimately that his chief legacy was emancipation, that's been a more controversial matter since the 1960s and 70s, but I think most historians today would acknowledge that Lincoln was a strong anti-slavery Republican whose views evolved certainly on this on the question of slavery and race, but who was well ahead of his time. So there are certain pieces of this portrait that I think have had a sort of timeless quality to them. And we think of them as just being, you know, I said that Hay and Nicolay kind of created the Lincoln Memorial, Lincoln, the great father figure to the country image. And that's not gone anywhere since they drew it up.
Was there ever friction between the two men as to what that legacy would be?
No, they were largely in agreement. You know, Hay and Nicolay were very different characters. John Hay was a bubbly, kind of bon vivant type character, very witty, well-educated. Nicolay was a self-made man. He had come to the United States at the age of 6 with his parents. They had immigrated from Bavaria. He had been orphaned by the age of 12 or 14. He probably could count the number of months of school that he had on one or two hands, formal schooling. So, and he was a much more sort of sour and caustic type of figure, but they were extremely close from the day they met in 1851 as students at a small country schoolhouse, and they were very much in sync on all matters pertaining to Abraham Lincoln, and they were very much in sync as well with Robert Todd Lincoln, who had been their friend at least since 1859 or 1860, and who implicitly trusted them to be keepers of the flame.
They fought very much to work on the narrative about slavery, that slavery and not just states' rights was the cause of the Civil War. This was something that obviously was debated and continues to be, certainly in the decades that followed the Civil War. When they started that narrative, how was it received?
That's a great question, and I would back up just for a moment to note that although both men had been anti-slavery in the 1850s and early 1860s when they were young men and first getting into politics, they were anti-slavery in the way that most northern anti-slavery advocates were. They didn't necessarily feel strongly about the humanity of African Americans or the plight of African Americans, but they believed that slavery was a politically and economically ineffective and even invidious institution. And it was over the course of the war that they began to actually share Lincoln's belief in the fundamental humanity of African Americans. Part of that was the experience, particularly for John Hay, who spent a lot of time in the field as Lincoln's eyes and ears with certain generals, as they experienced or met African Americans who had served in uniform during the war and saw that they had fought very bravely. They came along with a large portion of the country to reconsider their feelings about race. They certainly were much more interested in the morality or immorality of slavery when they wrote about it after the fact in the 1870s and 80s. And at that point, the nation was moving away from a brief moment of racial liberalism that occurred in the middle of the war and during the early years of Reconstruction. You were also beginning to see a real rush, a real imperative to try to reunite the two sections, the North and the South, and that meant that the question of slavery had to be submerged in the official narrative of the war. this was the decade, the 1880s, when they began publishing or serializing their biography of Lincoln pretty widely in the Century magazine. That was the decade that saw a real vogue for blue and gray reunions, where you'd have Confederate and Union veterans come together on battlefields and hold, you know, several-day, multi-day reunions, and of necessity they had to take away the accent off of slavery and make it make the war a brother's fight, a brother's squabble about abstract constitutional principles. The magazine that they were serialized in widely for 4 years, 5 years, the Century magazine, before it began serializing their Lincoln biography, it had run a very popular series called Battles and Leaders of the Civil War, where they invited blue and gray veterans from the officers' ranks to talk about and remember that war. And their editors really hoped that their biography would do what they believed the Battles and Leaders of the Civil War series did, which was to help further the cause of reunification. And so there was a tension between the editors on the one hand and Nicolay and Hay on the other about how much to talk about slavery and how much to talk about sectionalism. So they were, in many ways, while they were very successful in helping to redraw the country's understanding of Lincoln, they were less successful in placing slavery directly back in the Civil War narrative, at least in their lifetime, because they were very much writing against the popular current.
And with that in mind, I was struck by the balance that they had to deal with, which was also writing about the president and in the historical writing, making him this giant figure and talking about his greatness, but also making him human.
That's right. They really had to walk a fine line. They were upset by a couple of biographies and biographical articles and lectures that some of Lincoln's friends, like William Herndon, his former law partner, and Ward Hill Lamon, a former friend and aide, had pushed out in the 1860s and 1870s, which tended, you know, these friends thought that they were doing Lincoln a service posthumously by reminding people that he had been very much human, not God. As Herndon said, Lincoln was not God. He was man. He was a good man, but he was not God. But the biographical materials they pushed out tended to make him more of a coarse and crass Western figure, which is something Robert Todd Lincoln was appalled by, as were Hay and Nicolay. They didn't like the idea of apotheosizing Lincoln or making him into a god. They truly believed that people should understand that he was, at the end of the day, a man. But they wanted to make him into a great man, the great man they saw him as, somebody who was an unparalleled politician, unparalleled war leader, somebody who played the long game when lesser politicians around him wavered and faltered at every setback, political or military, during the war. So they did walk a very fine line.
The book is fascinating. It is entitled Lincoln's Boys, John Hay, John Nicolay, and the War for Lincoln's Image. It is published by Viking. Joshua Zeitz, great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Lincoln's Boys. It is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.